Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. Before we begin on our reflection for this week, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day. I'm just going to pray for mothers, but also for women in general as we celebrate this day. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of mothers. You have given us such a precious gift by showing us the love of mothers. And Lord, we pray for women all over the world, whether they're mothers or sisters or aunts or daughters. Lord, I pray that you would be with each woman, help them to feel your presence, your comfort, your love. And God, I pray for women who are in difficult or dangerous circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you would be their protection and that you would intervene in their situations. Lord, this is a happy day for many, a day when we celebrate our mothers. But it's also a sad day for many, perhaps because they lost their parents or their mother, or people who want to be mothers but are unable to conceive or have children. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who find today difficult. May your name be praised in all of this. Amen. So we're continuing on with our series about spiritual practices and how we can use these spiritual practices, these habits, to really hear from God and hear what he's saying to us about life in general. Generally thinking, when we think about spiritual practices, we think of practices that impact pretty much just our inner life. Things such as meditation, prayer, and fasting, which we've already looked at so far. But spiritual practices are not only to change our spiritual life or impact solely on ourselves. As we've already seen, even the intimate, seemingly internal spiritual practices have an outward focus that can cause us to care for others. The spiritual practice for this week has a definite external focus, while also transforming us within, drawing us closer to God. This week, we are reflecting on the spiritual practice of generosity. Generosity is an important spiritual practice that draws us closer to God because he is the perfect example of generosity, as he gave up everything to restore us to himself. Jesus gave up his very life for our sakes. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, we are reminded of what spectacular generosity God demonstrated. And this reading is from the Message version of the Bible. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. I like the way the Message phrases this thing that says, Jesus set aside the privilege of deity. Let's just pause there and consider this for a moment. Jesus, God, one of the persons of the Trinity, the one who has angels and archangels worshipping him, the one who comes in glory. He willingly chose to lay that all aside, to come to earth as a human baby. Not a fully developed man capable of fending for himself and making a name for himself, but a vulnerable child dependent on others for his very survival. And he came as a baby, not to the royal household, to be waited on hand and foot, but as a child of a poor working class couple, a couple who had the shadow cast on them by seemingly having a child out of wedlock. None of us can even imagine what this would have been like, this act of love that Jesus demonstrated in that moment of laying aside his majesty. We do not have a parallel to explain this. For example, even if the president of the USA, arguably the person with the most power in the world, willingly chose to become a child born in the most deprived place, even that would not be comparable to the generosity and love of God. This is the wonderful generosity of God. But he didn't stop there. He willingly chose to sacrifice his life for us, dying a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. God is the perfect example of a generosity so great that we can barely comprehend it. This level of generosity is overwhelming. And yet Paul tells the Philippians and us to have the same mind as Christ. What? Did I read that right? We ought to have the same mind as our awe-inspiring God. We are to aspire to this level of love and selflessness and generosity. Surely Paul made a mistake. We cannot match up to Christ. And of course we can't. Not as fallible, inherently selfish humans. But the Holy Spirit, God himself, resides with us, and nothing is impossible for God. God is not just a perfect example. He is also the one who empowers us to become more and more like him in all ways, including in generosity. So I'm going to read from Mark 12, 41 to 44, and Matthew 6, 1 to 4. So Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And then Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So what does it mean to have the generosity of Christ? How can we possibly imitate the wonderful love and compassion of God? We sometimes think to ourselves, "I have nothing to offer to others. I'm barely getting it by at the moment. I can't afford to give anything away, especially with today's price rises." But one of the first things we need to note is that generosity is an attitude towards life more than a simple action itself. In Mark 12, Jesus is sitting in the temple court where the offerings are collected for the temple treasury. He was watching as the people came to give their offerings. Some of the people there were very rich, and so they gave large amounts. When I read this, I always imagine these rich people put on almost a performance to show others how generous they are. There's something about the way that the NIV translates this passage by saying that they threw their money into the offering, perhaps hoping that it would make a particularly large sound so that people would think that they put in a large and impressive amount of money as it hits the bottom. If these people were truly trying to make their generosity evident by throwing the money in and making a big show of it, then their giving was not truly that generous. Jesus explains this when he taught in Matthew 6 about giving. He criticised the lack of a generous, humble attitude when he condemns the hypocrites who made a great performance of their gifts in the synagogues and in the streets. Jesus instructs us not to announce our giving, but instead to give silently, so that we are not trying to seek reward or accolades from other people. The most truly generous persons are those who give silently, without hope of praise or reward. In contrast to the extravagant and boasting gifting of those who use their gifts as a way to gain praise, we have the widow. And I've always pictured the woman coming to the offering with her head bowed low, trying to be as unnoticeable as possible, not wanting to be watched as she put her two coins in. I imagine her feeling a sense of shame at her small gift, but also having a determination, knowing that she wanted to give God everything. So I imagine her walking up to the offering, despite the potential for embarrassment and ridicule from the crowds. I wonder, did she hesitate at that offering jar? Or did she place her coins in with a determined, prayerful, and worshipful heart? Either way, it is clear that her generosity went beyond the size of her gift. The gift was small, almost not worth commenting on, but her attitude was one of total surrender and generosity, giving everything to God. As Jesus commented, she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Her generosity is amazing. Do we have a spirit of generosity? Generosity does not mean just giving. It is a change of heart. Just because you might give away things doesn't mean you have a generous spirit. Or if we just give a gift, does not mean we are generous people. Instead of holding on to everything we have, we need to acknowledge that it all belongs to God to use. It means that we are willing to let God use whatever we have in whichever way he wishes. Do we trust God with what we have? Do we trust him enough that we are able to hold it loosely and even let it go when God asks? The widow recognized that all her money belonged to God, and through her offering she put her complete trust in God. Can we have this sort of faith as we learn to live generously? Secondly, it's a painful thing to realise, but true generosity hurts. A truly godly form of generosity requires us to sacrifice things that are important or valuable to us. This doesn't necessarily have to mean a gift of monetary value. We might be generous with our time, our efforts, our material things, and so on. But whatever it is we are generous with, truly godly generosity costs us. The rich worshippers at the temple went giving only a small portion of their wealth. For these people, putting in large amounts might not have made even a small dent in their overall wealth. They would still have plenty to live off and even buy the luxuries they wanted. Their generosity, if considered in proportion to their wealth, was actually quite limited. It would not have hurt them to give away that money. trying to think about it in a more modern context. Imagine if the world's richest people would donate what to us would seem like staggering amounts, but to them is pocket change. That gift would, of course, be very welcome, but it would not be truly generous if we looked at it with a godly perspective. We can all give in a way that doesn't affect us. When we give, is our lifestyle impacted? Do we have to change our plans because of our generosity? If the gift is a financial one, can we still buy everything we were going to buy anyway? If we want to give in a spirit of true generosity, what does our gift cost us? This kind of generosity isn't just a knee-jerk reaction to a pressing situation. It's a way of living a transformed life. Imagine what the world would look like if we were all transformed by the Holy Spirit to have this spirit of generosity. Or imagine what our community would look like if we were transformed by the Holy Spirit to have this life of generosity. We may not be able to change the world, but we can make a difference in our community. How would a spirit of generosity empower us to make a difference in this spirit, in this community? When we all live lives transformed by the Holy Spirit, God moves powerfully among us. How might living generously transform the areas around you? How might your relationships be transformed if you allow God to prompt you to generosity? Can we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to live generously? Many of us might want to be generous, but something holds us back. What is it that holds you back from living generously? What is it that you need to release? Often our feelings of things like fear, doubt, anger, and greed hold us back from living generously. Can you allow God to help you to let these things go? As we go into this week, how can we live generously? It's okay to start small. Learning to live generously is like training a muscle. At first, it's hard to do even simple things. But as generosity becomes more and more ingrained as part of your life, the more naturally it will become to live generously. What small thing could you do this week? And you never know, it might seem small to you, but to someone else it could be a huge thing. As we live generously, we draw closer to God, a perfect example of generosity. God blesses us not so that we can revel in the joy of those blessings, but so that we can bless others as we have been blessed. What has God blessed you with? How is he calling you to bless others with that gift? And are you willing to listen to what he says?